take time and make this declaration with us. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, Lord God. Holy, tried, and true, Lord God. With thanksgiving, God, we'll be a living witness for you, oh God. We thank you for your presence this morning, God. Thank you for letting us be fearfully and wonderfully made to worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we bless you in this place, God. You be glorified. Hallelujah.
Lord, prepare me.
What you want me to do?
What you want me to do? where you want me to go,
where you want me to go.
Say where you want me to go,
where you want me to go.
How you want me to go,
how you want me to go.
What you want me to do,
what you want me to do.
What you want me to say,
what you want me to say.
And we'll say yes,
yes,
yes to your will,
yes to your will.
Say yes,
yes,
yes to your way, Lord,
yes to your will.
Yeah.
hear the sound of an army arising. I hear the sound of an army arising. In me, it's with my heart say,
I hear the sound of an army arising.
You,
I hear the sound of an
speaking
army
and you're
arising.
Moving, okay.
I hear the sound.
Hallelujah.
Of an army arising.
In this place.
In
let's try that with heart. in this place. The name of Jesus, you lift it high.
He never leaves you nor forsake you. He sticks closer than a friend, a brother. Hallelujah. This next song says, we can't praise you enough for what you've done, God. And I'll go a step further for what you're doing right now, God. We can't praise you enough for what you're going to do in the future. We still can't thank you and praise you enough. Hallelujah. Ears haven't heard. It hadn't even entered the heart, God, of what you're going to do for us, Lord. But we can already attest that you've been good to us, God. If we're honest, you've been better than good to us, God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
Because you've been so good.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, you've been so good to me. Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. See, you've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. I can't praise you enough.
Listen to this.
Even if I try, 'cause you've been so good. You've been so good.
Yes, you have.
You've been so good to me, to me.
Sing, Lord. Come on.
Lord, you are good.
Sing it with affirmation.
You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good.
One more.
I can't praise you enough.
I owe you.
I owe you my life.
Sing it like you mean.
Can't praise you enough. Even if I try, need you to lose your mind and worship. Hallelujah. So many doors.
So many doors you
so open. Many ways.
So many ways you
so many times.
So many times you me.
Better than good to me.
Better than good.
So many doors.
So
have you opened doors?
Open.
So many ways.
So many ways you
so many times.
So
better than good for me. Let's take
better
that up. So
me.
Many doors.
So many doors.
We can't count the ways
so
you made.
So many ways you made.
And you healed us.
So many times
you were good to me.
Better than good for me.
Better than good.
So many doors.
So many doors.
You
so many ways.
So many ways you made.
So many times
you healed me.
Better than good for me.
Stay right
there. Better than good to me,
better than good to me,
better than good to me,
better than good to me.
You've been better,
better
than I've been to myself. Hallelujah, I can't thank you enough.
Better than good to me,
better than
you've been good to my mama, my dad, my family. Hey,
you've been better, every round goes higher and higher in your God. Hey.
You've been better than good to me.
Better than good.
Oh God, you've been better than good to me.
Better than good to me.
You've been better.
Better than good.
We can't thank you enough, oh God.
Hey,
when I think of the goodness of Jesus,
better than good to me.
And no, He's done for me.
Better than good to me.
I say you've been better.
You've
been better. Now let that praise Him. Come on, come on, come on. Thank you for being better than good to you. He could have been mediocre with you. He don't have shit when it comes to you. You are His masterpiece. You are His sons and daughters. Hallelujah. He withholds no good thing from you. Hallelujah. You've been better
to me. Come on, we gonna praise Him in here.
Hey. Better than good to me.
Better than
I know we gotta go past the way.
You've been better than good to me.
Better than good to me.
You've been so good.
You've been
so good to me. I can't thank you enough, oh God.
You've been better than good to me.
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 You've been better
than good to me.
One more time, say.
Better than good.
Better than good to me.
Better than good.
Better than good to me.
You've been better
than good to me.
Hallelujah.
Because you've been
yes.
so good.
Yes.
You've been
somebody sound grateful.
So good.
Don't let them be grateful alone.
You've been.
Think about that time He helped you. Think about that time He saved you. He healed you. You prayed on somebody's behalf and He answered. Hallelujah.
Oh, you've been. So good, you've been so good, oh, you've been so good to me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You've been glory to God, Jesus. Wonderful God, wonderful God, wonderful God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we do honor you so much in this place. Glory to God. We give you praise for your goodness. Glory to God. We give you praise for your loving kindness, for your tender mercies toward those of us that believe in you. Glory to God. We honor you, Lord, for you're great. You're greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. And one psalmist said, Lord, we've tasted your goodness. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we know, yeah, somebody said we're still tasting, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we know that we are blessed. It's an ongoing thing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because we trust in you, Lord God. We honor you for this worship experience. We honor you for this segment of the worship experience where your word is preached, where your word is taught. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you that you do have mercy upon me as I stand to be an instrument in your hand, to be an instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit in this place. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, we ask you now to go before the Word, to quicken us in our innermost being so that we will spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the Word is sharing with us in this place today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask you that as I stand to be a vessel used by you, that you do stand up in my body, that you do think with my mind, that you do speak with my mouth, that you do flow through me to say and do everything that Abba, our Father, and Jesus, our Lord and King, desire us to say and do in this place today. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you that no satanic hindrance shall hinder the free flow of your word in this place. We thank you, Father God, that we are blessed. That is, we are empowered to prosper your way, to excel your way, as we receive the word on good ground, that good ground being our heart, our spirits. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you today that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And thank God. Amen. Come on, let's bless the Lord in this place today. Surely the Lord is in this place. Amen. This is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. Amen. We say good morning to you, friendship. Amen. 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 Ushers, you may be seated. And we say good morning to all of our friends who are joining us by way of social media. We're glad to have you. Thank you for participating in this worship experience with us. Glory to God. And we thank you for every individual who is joining us every individual who is joining us, who are joining us by way of teleconferencing. Amen. It's good. Somebody says it's good. It's good to be here. Amen. There are so many people who started out with us in the beginning of this year who are not with us any longer. Amen. Whether it's due to the pandemic or other things that's transpired in their lives, they are not here, but we're still here. Amen. We bless God for the opportunity to stand, stay, and to do everything that He has chosen us to do in this earth realm. Somebody say amen. Somebody say He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's not done with us yet. Amen. Amen. How do I know? Because He's continuously showing me things that He's working in and working out of my life. Amen. So I bless Him for Him being God. He started a good work. Somebody say amen. It's a God work. Somebody say it's a God work. And He's faithful to bring it to completion in my life. And I'll just leave it right there. Somebody say amen. Well, we are in part two of our series entitled Healthy and Unhealthy Mindsets or an Attitude. Amen. Attitude. Somebody say amen. Healthy and unhealthy mindsets or attitudes. Amen. We know that healthy has to do with prosperous and sound. Somebody say amen. We know that unhealthy has to do with immoral or morally wrong, even toxic or contaminated ways of thinking, if you will. Somebody say amen. If I can just throw this in parenthetically before I get to the meat of the message. Toxic, contaminated mindsets leads to toxic, contaminated acts, actions, performances, behaviors. Somebody say amen. So unhealthy mindsets have to do with toxic, contaminated, wrong, bad, immoral ways of thinking. Amen. We define the word mindset as a fixed. Somebody say fixed. A fixed way of thinking. Amen. It's a thinking, a way of thinking that doesn't change unless the thinker decides to change it and work to change the way of thinking. And the only reason, maybe more than one, but there's one reason that I know to change the way of thinking is that way of thinking is producing things that are not conducive to good living. Amen. Or you change your way of thinking when there is a way of thinking that you have, but there's a better way. Somebody say better way. Better way of thinking in that same vein, if you will. Somebody say amen. And we define the word attitude, say attitude, as settled way, settled, S-E-T-T-L-E-D, ways of thinking that leads to performances, behaviors, acts, actions, etc. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but by now you should know that there's this a natural inclination in all of us to think certain ways. Somebody says, amen. Well, it's good, bad, or indifferent. There's a natural way or what is called a disposition or a mental disposition or a mental bent or inclination toward thinking a particular way. Amen. And a lot of times those ways of thinking are implanted in us by way of environment or surrounding or scenery, etc. Somebody say amen. So there are several ways of thinking that's in us that drives the way that we behave, especially in circumstances. Somebody say circumstances. If every time somebody make you mad, you cuss them out, that's the way that your mind is set. That's the way that your thinking is settled. I said every time. Somebody say every time. I didn't say sometimes. Somebody say sometimes. Sometimes you might get fleshly or carnal and go in the way of carnality, amen. But if that's your habitual practice, if that's the way that you always handle situations, when some individual or individuals make you angry, that's your natural bent toward thinking in that direction. Amen. If somebody curse you, and you bless them every time, you bless them 89% of the time. You bless them 75% of the time. Somebody say, man, that's an indication of that being your natural bent toward thinking in that direction, if you will, amen. If you're always giving, somebody say always giving. Every time there's a need, that's an indication that you are naturally thinking in the direction of giving. Somebody say amen. And you might be thinking in that direction because of the fact you know the benefit or the result or the consequence to giving. Somebody say amen. You're standing on what Jesus says, give and it shall be what? Given unto you, amen. So we have natural ways of thinking. We have subtle ways of thinking. We have natural ways of processing things, if you will. Somebody say amen. If you're always defensive, I said always. Okay, 89% of the time. 90% of the time. 85% of the time. If you're always on the defensive, no matter what an individual will say to you, whether you hear them correctly or hear them incorrectly, because sometimes we hear incorrectly. Somebody say, hear incorrectly. My wife, Pastor Vic, is always teaching me things about hearing right. Somebody say, hearing right. Sometimes I'll express something to her that somebody said to me, and she said, baby, you need to check and see if you heard that right. Somebody say, heard it right. And if it's something that I can replay, a lot of times I'll replay it, and 99.83% of the time, she's right. Somebody say, man, I've heard it incorrectly. Sometimes we hear based upon how our minds are settled or how our thinking is settled. Somebody hurt you, and now you think everybody wants to hurt you, and now you're thinking out of that hurt place. Somebody just rub up against you. You're ready to fight because you think they're trying to kill you, amen. It's that subtle way of thinking. Somebody say amen. So if your subtle ways of thinking are not conducive to good living, or if they are toxic, when you talk about toxic ways of thinking, you talk about ways of thinking that cause you danger, hurt, or somebody else danger or hurt, amen. If you find yourself in that lane in your thinking, it's time to work on that, because it's not bringing us favorable outcomes, if you will. Does that make sense to you? When you're thinking it's toxic, you either drive folks away or make folks hate to see you coming, because they know that your behavior or your words are going to be toxic. Somebody say toxic. How can you draw if your behavior is jacked up? Somebody say amen. So we're talking about unhealthy. Somebody say unhealthy. Let's do the positive first. Healthy and unhealthy attitudes, or healthy and unhealthy ways or subtle ways of thinking or mindset. Somebody say amen. Let's get our foundational scripture for this, or for these teachings. Somebody say amen. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 3a. Proverbs chapter 23. I don't know why I always transpose that. 23:7a. Somebody said 23:7a. The proverbial writer, which is Solomon, writes, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As he thinks in his heart, so is he. We can say a couple of things. One of the things we can say is man is the sum total of his thinking. Man in his behavior, actions, is the sum total of his thinking. Or we can say this, the quality of our lives is determined by the way that we think. The way that we live is determined by the way that you think. I can tell what you're thinking if I watch you long enough. Yeah, if I watch you long enough, I can tell at least some of your thought processes or your thought patterns, if you will, if I watch you long enough. I can tell whether they're good or bad, whether they're harmful or good. Because your quality of life is determined by the way that you think. Does that make sense to you? Proverbs 27:19. I believe that's right. Let me move back here. 27:19. I'll try to remember to do these verses every week until this series is over, because we need to get these scriptures in us. Amen. We need to understand that our thinking is important. Our thinking is of the essence. I am what I am because of the way that I think. Somebody say, I am what I am because of who God made me to be. The way that God has made you to be is seen through the way that He impacts the thinking. Does that make sense to you? One of my favorite scriptures is, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Give me that in the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, and I'll come back to this. Because we need to understand that God can change our way of thinking if we work with Him. And if He's changing our ways of thinking, He's changing our ways of thinking to think like Him, so that we can get the results in our lives that He desires for us to have. If my thinking has been changed in any way, it's the Lord that's impacting continuously my thinking. Amen. The major person that I listen to these days is the Holy Spirit, because He knows how to make me successful, et cetera, et cetera. He knows how to bring to pass in my life the things that God desires to bring to pass in my life. And I know that He's trying to impact my actions by impacting my thinking. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 says, Don't copy. Somebody said, don't copy. Don't be a copycat. Don't copy the behavior and customs, ways of acting of this world. But let God, somebody say, let God. Somebody say, God is in the transforming business. The word transform means to change. Somebody say, God is in the transforming business. Yes, God wants to encourage us. Yes, God wants to inspire us. But God ultimately wants to change us. And He wants to change us to look like His Son, so He can have other sons and daughters representing Him in the earth realm the way He desires us to represent Him in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. So He says, but let God trans you into a what? New person. Somebody said, new person. By changing what? Somebody said, the way we think. Somebody said, the way we think. So God is trying to change the way that we think. Somebody said, His ways are higher than mine. His ways are higher than mine. His thoughts are higher than mine. And they are. But He can bring us to that place of thinking like Him. But we need to allow Him to change us by changing the way that we think. For what reason? Then you will learn to know God's will for you. He's revealing His will for us in His thinking that He's placing in our minds. Somebody said, that's deep. I spend time with God because I want to hear what He has to say. I spend time with the Lord because I want him to impact my life. I want him to impact my life by impacting the way that I think. I was thinking through this last week. Man, my way of thinking in so many areas has changed dramatically over the last couple of years. And it's God or the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is changing the way that I think. He's impacted my thinking. And then I ask the Lord, or ask the Holy Spirit on a daily basis to give me the mind of Christ and to make Christ's mind my mind. Because I want to think like Jesus. Somebody say amen. If I ever wanted to be like anybody, I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be crucified. Don't get me wrong. Amen. I don't want to hang on the cross for 3 days. Amen. But I do want to be like him in my behavior. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So he says, but let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way that you think. Then you will what? Learn to know God's will for you, which is what? Good. Somebody say, stop right there, Pastor. God's will for us is good. Not evil. Not to harm us. But it's good. Somebody say good. Beneficial, advantageous for some other people and for us as well. His will is. Somebody say his will is. Will, another term for will is desire. Another term for will is wish. Somebody say amen. Then you will, come on back. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and what? God's will is what? Good. Pleasing. It's good, pleasing, and perfect to him. And it's a perfecting will for us. Somebody say amen. Let's go back to Proverbs 27:19. I'm going to get as far as I can with the time allotted to me today. Amen. This is our second foundational passage for this teaching. As a face is reflected in water, so the heart, somebody say the heart, reveals the real person. I think you missed that. Your thinking reveals who you really are. Somebody say amen. I was having a conversation with somebody last week, and I told them that I plead the blood over my heart and ask God, my heart and my soul to purify it every day. Because I know that I'm the sum total or the core of me is my thinking. And if I'm thinking evil, hurtful, harmful things, chances are that's the way my actions will be. So I'm asking the Lord to clean up everything in my heart, that is, my thinking and my soul that's unlike him. And then I get a little deeper. I want him to clean up my conscience of all dead works. And the blood of Jesus is the agent that he used. And then I ask him also to purify my imagination and my memory of all sin, iniquity, ungodliness, unrighteousness, etc. by the blood of Jesus. Amen. I want to be clean. Then I finish with, Lord, create within me a clean heart. I want to be clean on the inside. And renew within me a right spirit from day to day. Amen. So the heart reflects the real person. So this is why we can determine sometimes what you're thinking or in what vein you're thinking by your behavior, because we know that in most cases your behavior is coming out of your mindset, your attitude, or your way of thinking at that time. Does that make sense to you? The last foundational passage, 3 John 2. Let's get the New King James translation on that one, Jeremy. Thank you. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Say prosper. I told you the word prosper means to succeed in reaching. To succeed in reaching. So if we're prospering, we're trying to reach somewhere. Does that make sense to you? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in how many things? Somebody say all things. God desires us to prosper in all things. That's financially, in also in every other area of our life that is good. Somebody say amen. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Who else is healthy? Just as what? Your soul prosper. So we prosper in action behavior as our soul prosper. Or as our souls prosper. As our mind wills. And as our mind and wills prosper, if you will. Somebody say amen. So we prosper in actions as our mind and our will prosper. Somebody say amen. If you're going to get better in your behavior, your soul has to get better. And it gets better by what we put in that. Somebody say amen. Amen. So those are our three foundational scriptures. And last week we talked about a lot of things, and I've already rehearsed some in our hearing. But one of the things we had to do, as the Holy Spirit led us to do, is prove to us. Let my soul get a dip here. It's that time of season. Or it's that time of season where the pollen is falling to the ground and it impacts me adversely, if you will. So my throat gets dry and so and all those kind of things. We had to take time and prove to a lot of us last year that, not last year, but last week, that God wants us to be successful from the scripture. Not only to be successful, but to have good success. God wants us to have success, I define as favorable outcomes, positive outcomes in every area of our lives. Somebody say amen. And then we had to prove from the scripture last week that God wants us to prosper. Somebody say amen. That's financially and in every other area of our lives. God wants you to have some money. God wants us to have some cash. But he wants us to get it the right way. Somebody say amen. In part two of the lesson, we want to pick up on where we left off last week. And we want to give us at least two. At this point, I'm going to give you more. And even some unhealthy mindsets. I want to give us two healthy mindsets that we can live by. Somebody say two. Just two today. Number one, I can have a prosperous mindset. Somebody say prosperous mindset. Somebody say prosperous mindset. I can always think prosperity. I can always think success. We asked the question last week, how do we measure success? We measure success by whether or not we fulfill our goals. Well, sometimes you can just look at your life and determine whether or not you're successful, amen. But most of us have goals that we are working toward. And most of our goal setting are attainable goals. And we measure our favorable outcome or our success based upon whether or not we hit our goals. When we talked about last week, if our goals are too lofty, somebody said too lofty or too high, we can adjust them. One of my goals in life was, I didn't tell you this, one of my goals in life was to have a good relationship with my wife. Somebody said good relationship. But it's an ongoing work. I want to feel what she feels sometimes. Somebody say amen. I want to care about what she cares about. I want her to know that I care about what she cares about. I want her to know that I love her. I want her to know how special she is to me. When I missed expressing her value to me, and I realize I missed expressing that value, I apologize. She's right there. All you got to do is watch it. You can tell whether or not I'm telling the truth. I apologize. And then work on expressing how valuable she is to me. I have to remember that I have favor with the Lord because of her. I have to remember that she's a gift from God for me. I have to remember that if I don't treat her as a partner in the grace of life with me, my prayers will be hindered. Amen. All of that equals value. Somebody say value. I just quoted scripture. So one of my goals, until the day I die, unless something happens to my mind, and I don't expect that to happen, is to show my wife how valuable she is to me. When I think of life without my wife, I get a little cloudy. She's just that valuable to me. So you determine your success level by the way you reach or don't reach your goals. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So one healthy way of thinking is a prosperous. Say prosperous. Prosperous way of thinking. Or a prosperous mindset or a prosperous attitude. When I think prosperity, I think this way. I reason and rationalize in my mind that I can be successful at anything that I do. I can be successful at anything that I do. I can have a favorable, positive outcome in all that I do. But I understand that I have to work at it. Somebody say work at it. And if I fail on the way, I do one or two things. If it's very important to me, I work at it again. If I fail at it the second time, I'll seek help to help me to achieve that goal. Somebody say amen. So I can think prosperity. Say prosperity. In every area of my life. Amen. So number one, I can have a prosperous mindset, a prosperous attitude, a prosperous way of thinking, amen. That's money in every other area of my life. Number two, I can have a mindset of excellence. Somebody say excellence. Somebody say excellence. The term excellent is defined as to excel or extraordinary. Somebody say extraordinary. I can be extraordinary. I didn't say extra, but extraordinary in everything that I do. Well, I can think that way. I can be extraordinary in my studies. I can be extraordinary in my marriage. I can be extraordinary in the raising my kids. I can be extraordinary in my profession. I'm always striving for excellence in all that I do, in my dress, in the way that I live, et cetera, et cetera. I can have a mindset of excellence or a healthy mindset of excellence in all that I do. Now, I understand that some people hear things differently. I'm not saying I'm better than everybody else. That's not what I'm saying. But I can have an excellent attitude or a spirit of excellence in all that I do. And if I walk in that excellent attitude, it can propel me to high places in life. Anybody ever been managers, supervisors? Anybody have managers and supervisors here now? If you're not mediocre, you don't want to deal with mediocre folks. Yeah. You want people around you who's going to strive for what you strive for, excellence. Now, you don't get rid of them if they don't. You try to teach them to think that way, to take on that mindset, to take on that attitude, so that they can excel even in the profession that they're in. Somebody say amen. Now, there's a biblical picture of a person operating in the spirit of excellence, and him operating in the spirit of excellence propelled him to the highest place that he could go in the particular place where he was serving. Somebody say amen. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Is this happening to anybody? I've been called, what they call me, baby? What is OC what? OCD. What does that mean? Over. I do not have that. And my niece is back there rolling her eyes. You can't see her. Well, her eyes are rolling all around her head. I do not have OCD. I just believe in operating excellence. I do. I think I've been this way most of my life. I like organization. I'm just that way. And I think that has got me recognized in some places and moved me up in some places. Somebody say amen. Because we can count on him to do the best job that he can do because he operates in the spirit of excellence. Somebody say amen. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom. New Living Translation, please. Darius is the king. Darius is the king. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces. 120 provinces, or 120 segments, if you will. Amen. And he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. So he put an administrator over each province. Over each province, if you will. Somebody who's going to take care of the province and to take care of his interests. Somebody say amen. Verse number 2. Woo! Talk too fast because I got 12 minutes now. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high office and protect what? The king interests. Verse number 3. Daniel. Somebody said Daniel. I wish I had time to get into all that I need to get into right here, but I'll just make it short and sweet. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers because of Daniel's great ability. King James Translation says because of his spirit of excellence. Go back to the New King James Translation. Because an excellent spirit was in him. Somebody say in him. And the king, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over what? The whole realm. What got him promoted to over the whole realm? His excellent spirit. He believed in excelling in all that he did. Because of the excellent spirit or the excellent mindset that was in him. Somebody say amen. So you can think excellent. That can be your settled way of thinking. That can be your fixed way of thinking. And if you think that way, you operate that way. Somebody say amen. Closing. Let's do this. Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus had at least two ways or two settled ways of thinking. And those settled ways of thinking, when he was in his earthly ministry, drove everything that he did. One of those settled ways of thinking was, number one, was humility or willful submission to his Father. That's the way he thought. And his second fixed way of thinking, settled way of thinking was servitude or serving humanity. Somebody say amen. Let's prove them both. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2. Is this happening to anybody? We all have fixed way of thinking. In the end of this message, I'm going to ask you to examine your fixed ways by examining your behavior, by examining your actions, by examining your performances in the earth realm. If you can look at your behavior, you can tell the way that you're thinking. Paul said, let this mind, New Living Translation, please, I'm sorry for jerking you back and forward. He says, Paul writes, you must, somebody say must, You must have the same attitude or the same set of way of thinking that Christ had. Somebody say amen. What did he have? Verse number 6. Though he was God, somebody say he was God, he did not think of equality with God something to cling to. Amen. When it was time for him to be made God in the flesh, he didn't think about the fact that he needed to hold on to being God or hold on to sitting on the throne. But he realized, or he knew, or he followed the will of the Father by taking on a body, a human body, if you will. Amen. Somebody say amen. Verse number 7. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Well, Pastor, if he gave up his divine privileges, how did he do all that stuff in the earth realm that he did? He did it because the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse number 38, that Jesus was endowed or endued with the Holy Spirit. He didn't use that word, but that's what it meant. He was endued with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and delivering those who were oppressed by the devil. So it was the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon him that caused him to do all that he did in the earth realm. Amen. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was, somebody say and was born a human being. When he appeared in human form, somebody say human form, verse number 8, he humbled himself, say humbled himself, in obedience. We see his obedience in his humility, or we see his humility in his obedience to the Father. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died what kind of death? A criminal's death on a cross. Now, he was God. He didn't have to do that. But he submitted to the will of someone else, or his Father, in order to carry the will of his Father out. Amen. Here's a good point. You can't carry the will of somebody else out unless you submit to the will. You can't carry out God's will unless you submit to his will. You can't even carry out your role in life unless you submit to your role. A lot of times in life, we cross roles. That's why we have chaos. Oftentimes. Somebody say amen. I don't have time to say that. Verse number 8. That's why I stopped. Verse number 8. So Jesus humbled himself to his Father, and you hear him saying in his ministry, I only do what my dad tell me to do, or my father tell me to do. I only do what I see my Father do. Somebody say amen. So he put his will aside and picked up the will of his Father to do what God desired him to do in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. So one of his ways of thinking, some of the ways of thinking, was humility to his Father. You get that? Amen. His second way of thinking was servitude. Somebody say servitude. He was all about serving mankind. And if you watch him in his ministry, he was healing folks, delivering folks, teaching folks, preaching folks out of situations, etc., etc., because he had an attitude of servitude. Somebody say attitude of servitude. Let's prove that. Mark chapter 10, verse number 45. The Holy Spirit said to me the other day that Jesus changed lives through teaching, preaching, and healing. And then he said, like I didn't know that, but I did know that. I did know that. And then he said to me, maybe some of the minds in the church needs to be healed by way of teaching and preaching the word. And a lot of us take issue with a statement like that because we think all right. But a lot of our thinking is conformed to the world. And some of us don't even realize that it's, when I say world, I'm talking about the system that's that detrimental, the system that's diametrically opposed to God's system. And some of us think like the world and we don't even know it. So it's going to take the word of the Lord to heal our minds. Somebody says, this is not a statement of condemnation, it's just a truthful statement. Somebody say amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man, said the Son of Man, that's Jesus himself, came not to what? Be served, but to serve others and to what? Give his life as a ransom or payment for a minute. Somebody say amen. So he had an attitude or fixed way of thinking that was humility and servitude. Somebody say humility and servitude. Where did those fixed attitudes get him? Where did those settled ways of thinking get him in life or in his ministry? They got him to two places. One, a place of exhortation with the Father, and two, a place of exhortation with people. His settled way of thinking, which led to his action, him being humble to the Father, him obeying the Father, and him serving people, elevated him in the sight of his Father and elevated him in the sight of people. Are you listening to me? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. And I'm getting ready to close. I'm going somewhere with this. Therefore, God did what? Elevated him to the place of what? Highest honor, and gave him what? A name above all other names. Why did he do that? Because he obeyed him, sacrificed his life for other individuals. Somebody say amen. Verse number 10. That at the name of Jesus, everyone, knee should bow. We're bowing our knee to Jesus because he's in an exalted place in our lives. Are you listening to me? And we exalt him because of what he's done for us. Because he served us by giving his life to set us free from sin, from the wrath of God, from the devil's clenches, if you will. We celebrate him for that. We exalt him for those things. So because of his service to us, we lift him up. Because of his ministry to us, we lift him up, amen. We exalt his name above every name. We know that there's only one name under heaven whereby men might be saved, and that's by the name of Jesus, amen. We know that healing is in the name of Jesus. Deliverance is in the name of Jesus, etc., etc. So we exalt his name because of his service to us. Okay. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and every and under the earth. Verse number 11. And every tongue confess that Jesus what? Is Lord. To whose glory? To the glory of God the Father. So we see that Daniel's fixed attitude, his fixed way of thinking got him exalted, his spirit of excellence. We see that Jesus' fixed way of thinking got him exalted. So here's the question that I close with. Where are your attitudes getting you? Where are your attitudes getting you? Where are our fixed way of thinking getting us? Where are they getting us? Are they causing us to fail? Or are they causing success in our lives? Where are our fixed way of thinking? Where are our attitudes getting us in life? Where is your attitude getting you with your partner? Where is your attitude getting you with your children? Where is your attitude getting you in your profession? Where is your subtle way of thinking getting you in the lives of people? Amen. What are your attitudes producing? Are they producing failure, or are they producing success? Are they producing chaos, or are they producing peace? Examine yourself. Examine your behavior. Examine your attitudes. Examine your normal way of thinking. Examine your fixed way of thinking, and see where it's getting you. Do you have mostly successful outcomes, or do you have a lot of negative outcomes? A lot of times we blame God for things that God don't do. A lot of times we have failure because of the wrong decisions that we make. Our decision making, Daniel, comes out of our thinking or out of our rationale or out of our reasoning. If you know, if folk always mad at you about something, that might mean that your behavior is going in the wrong way with folks. And your behavior going in the wrong way is coming out of your way of thinking, if you will. So where are your attitudes getting you? Are you excelling? Or are you failing? Is there chaos or peace? Where are your attitudes getting you? Got a lot of questions during this series. Going to raise a lot of questions. These questions should provoke you to think. Judah, these questions should provoke you to take a look at your performance, your way of behaving, your actions in life. And see if they're good or bad. See if they're positive or negative. See if they're pure or toxic. Freddie, do your behaviors cause chaos in your house? Just teaching purposes. Do your behavior cause harm in your household? You might ought to take a look at the way that you're thinking. Am I talking to the right house? Y'all quieter than quiet can be. So let me leave this with you. Where are your attitudes, kid? Now, I have an advantage on you all because I'm the one who God gives the message to. So I get an opportunity to examine myself before I ask you to examine yourself. And sometimes when I examine myself, it has a lot to do with how I deliver a message, amen. Because I can see some of the ways that people might be rejecting the message based upon how I deliver it. So I get a chance to look at that performance, if you will. And make adjustments so that people will receive what thus saith the Lord from my mouth. Sometimes I'll say some things and then I'll quickly adjust what I said. Because I'm not doing you any good if you get turned off by what I say. I need you to accept the deposit that I'm making, because the deposit that I'm making in your life per the Holy Spirit should help you in changing. So I'm not trying to put you on the offense. I'm trying to do what Jesus did. Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus improved the quality of life that everybody that he encountered that had faith to receive. And he did it by teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching and preaching all changes our lives if we will receive it. If it's good teaching, preaching, if it's teaching, preaching that produces good works in us or out of us. Does that make sense to you? So one more time as I close. As I go back to the high place, amen. For the pulpit, somebody say amen. What are your attitudes? Where are your attitudes? Where are your fixed ways of thinking getting you in life? Are they getting you failure? Or success. Again, success is just a favorable outcome. Or are they creating chaos and breaking peace in the lives of individuals? Or even in your own life. In the words of a good preacher I know, neighbor, think about it. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I need to stop because I hear this in my spirit. Somebody said to somebody, your behavior is so nasty. It comes out of nasty thinking. Or it comes out of learned behavior, some behavior that someone learned. But you can change that. Somebody say amen. Lord, we honor you for your liberating word that sets us free as we receive it. We honor you for it in Jesus' name. And all who agree with that prayer said, amen. And perhaps someone is listening to us today or watching us by way of social media, and you're being convicted in your spirit that you need Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, or you just know that you need Him as Savior, or you're desiring Him to be Savior of your life. We simply just teach that if you desire Him to be Savior, that you invite Him in. You invited me in by way of request, or you invited me in by way of prayer. If you're praying today, you can ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to be your Savior, and to be your Lord. Then you can pray the prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for being my Lord. And I'm sure it's in the comment section of our social media watches. It's saying that the scripture says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. And that's truth. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, salvation belongs to you. And lastly, you can just simply ask the Lord to come into your life and change it. I believe that if you pray that prayer or make that request in faith, God hears and answers that request. Somebody say amen. If you're sharing with us by either platform, teleconferencing or by social media, and you want to give, if you're here in the sanctuary, if you desire to give to this ministry, if you desire to sow seed into this ministry, we have at least 5 platforms. Number one, you can give to this ministry through Givelify. You go to Givelify, you'll see Friendship CCM. You will see the, what's that thing, the logo, or in my picture, click on it and follow the promptings. You can give by way of Cash App. The Cash App address is $Friendship, the F capitalized, Friendship CCM. You can give by way of PayPal. You can go to our website, www.friendshipccm.org, and follow the promptings on giving. You can give by way of bank bill pay. That is the same way you pay your bills online. You can give to Friendship Christian Church Ministries. And you can always mail a donation or offering or your tithe to us by way of the United States Postal Service. Our address is 1238 1238 Center Point Parkway, Birmingham, Alabama, 35215. Amen. If you have children that you would like to be ministered to on their level, our children's church ministry begins in about 6 minutes by way of Zoom. The time that we start is 11:30 a.m. The meeting ID is 832-3475-6582. Again, the meeting ID is 832-3475-6582. And the password is 680-632. Again, 680-632. If you want to join us each week for Bible study, our Bible study is held each Wednesday beginning at 6:45 p.m. You can join us for Bible study by way of Zoom. Our Zoom ID is 825-199-7060. That's 825-199-7060. The password is FCCM, all lowercase letters, 1238. Again, that's FCCM, 1238. FCCM, all lowercase letters. You can join us by way of Facebook Live. And you can join us by way of teleconferencing. The teleconferencing number is 1-800-697-4304. Again, that's 1-800-697-4304. And the access code is 205-261-4921. Again, 205-261-4921. You can join us each first Monday morning of the month at 9 o'clock a.m. for our first Monday morning word from the pastor's desk. Amen. And we only do that by way of Facebook Live. Amen. Well, that's all I have for today. I hope that the word has been a blessing to you. I hope that the service called the worship experience, have been a blessing to you. I hope that something has been said today by way of teaching, preaching, even by way of worship, that will impact your walk with the Lord. Until next week, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord give you peace. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord continue to allow you to experience and feel His love in your daily life. I love you. Practice. Stay safe. Until next week. Bye-bye.